Well, good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, this is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, and we have an interesting lesson today. We're actually not going to be looking at the gospel text for this Sunday, but we're going to be in a different book. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews. I'm really looking forward to this because this is, I don't know that I've even preached from Hebrews yet since I've been here in the 2 years I've been here. So we're going to just jump right into this. We're going to read our text then from Hebrews chapter 5. And you can remain seated for the reading of the lesson. We'll read this in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear gracious Father, these are your words. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. So this is, I think, my wife's favorite book of the Bible. And I see her wondering what I'm talking about. Because it's Hebrews. And I've made the coffee every day since we've been married, I think. So she takes this book very seriously. Hebrews. But anyway, this is a very interesting book. The interesting thing about Hebrews is that Hebrews is not like the other New Testament books where they were basically letters that the Apostle Paul or Peter or somebody would write to a people group. It's most likely that Hebrews was actually a sermon. This is an ancient homily. This is a sermon that we just heard. And if you read through this from beginning to end, it takes quite a while. So I have some license to preach for quite a long time if we really are looking at it. And Hebrews is a sermon. And so it was really, and you could see that because like when you look at the beginning, it starts off like totally unusual. It's not like any of the other books. This is how Hebrews starts off. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but these last days he has spoken to us by his son. You know, so you can see that it's got that, it starts right out of the gate with like a punch. And this is because this was somebody stood up and they just delivered this, and most likely somebody copied down what was spoken there. So this was written to Hebrews. Hebrews are Jewish people. So it was Jewish converts, people who were in the Jewish religion, but who had been converted to Christianity. And so that's why when you read through this book of Hebrews, it's about a lot of Old Testament stuff, a lot of Jewish stuff, because these were Jewish people who were very familiar with the Old Testament law and all the sacrifice system and everything in the Old Testament. And so, but now they've been converted to Christianity. And so Hebrews basically shows the fulfillment of the Old Testament in Jesus Christ, how that the Old Testament really is about Jesus Christ. And so that's who this was written to. Now, there's a lot of benefit for us today. Even though we don't have this background of being Jewish, we can gain a lot of benefit from reading through Hebrews, because it's so vivid. It so vividly describes what Jesus did for us. So as you read through Hebrews, you find one thing that is very common, a dominant theme that goes throughout Hebrews, and that is priesthood. And that's really what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be talking about priesthood. It's talked about over and over again in the book of Hebrews. It talks about the Levitical priesthood, which is like in Leviticus and the Old Testament, you have God establishing the priesthood, and it had to be like a certain way, and there's all kinds of interesting things you can read about in the Old Testament. And Hebrews mentions a lot of the Levitical priesthood, but more importantly, it talks about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. The priesthood of Jesus Christ. 26 times at least, I read through this whole book, at least 26 times in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus being a priest. Jesus is a priest, a high priest forever. You know, a priest, a priest, a priest, a high priest. And it's just over and over again. It's very, like, obvious when you read through and you look for it. You're like, wow, yeah, Jesus is a priest, I guess. You know, you get that idea from Hebrews. So what is the big deal with priesthood anyway? What's so significant about Jesus being a priest? That's what we're going to focus on today. First of all, what is a priest? A priest in the old Jewish system of worship was a man who was, and we even read it in the first verse of our text, that a man who was chosen from among men, he was appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. So this is a man who was supposed to represent people to God. He was supposed to, like, represent the people and bring their sins and basically represent them before God. And now, because there's a clear understanding that God is holy, right? God is, like, he's perfect. There's no sin allowed in God's presence, nothing like that. And so the problem is, we're sinners. Human beings are sinful. So how does a human being approach that kind of a God who's holy and perfect? Well, they need a priest. They need a priest to go and represent them before God. A special person chosen out to represent them. And that's really what the priests were all about. They would go and they would offer up sacrifices. There was different levels of priesthood. There was like the normal priest, but then there was the high priest or the chief priest, like the most important one. And the chief priest, his job was to, on the Day of Atonement, one day a year, one of his main jobs, the high priest would take a sacrifice, and he would go into the most holy place in the temple, and he would, like, sprinkle blood in there. Basically, he was offering an atonement for the sins of all the people and for his own sins. So that's kind of the idea of what a priest would do. The high priest was supposed to be able to relate to the people. That's the idea of choosing him from among the people, because the priest would be dealing with all the same things that the people are dealing with. He lives among them. Anything that affected the people would affect the priest. So he can relate to them. He can deal gently with those people because he has compassion on them. He understands what they're all about. And so that's what the priest would do. He was beset with weakness, it says. So in other words, he has the same stuff that's surrounding him, the same problems. But there's one main problem with the Old Testament priesthood, and it's a huge one. The problem is the priests were all sinners. They were supposed to be perfect. The priest needed to be perfect, and the offering needed to be perfect. That's why they'd have to look at their flock of sheep, and they would have to choose out the most perfect lamb out of there for the offering, for the sacrifice. The priest himself was supposed to be perfect. He couldn't have any physical deformities or anything like that. He needed to be perfect. The problem is, you can't find a perfect person. So the Old Testament priesthood, it didn't work. Didn't really work. Now, this isn't just a minor detail that the priest had some issues, that he was a sinner. That was a critical failure of the whole system. The system couldn't work, and we're told that in the book of Hebrews, that it was impossible that the blood of bulls and goats and all these animals, they could not take away sin. Because the priest was sinful, the animals, they couldn't really take away sin. It's kind of like, let's say that somebody's in debt, right? And you have another person step in and say, I'll pay their debt. I'll pay their debt for them. But the only problem is the person who steps forward to take care of the debt is in worse debt himself. You know, he's broke and he's totally bankrupt. It's like, yeah, that kind of a system wouldn't work. It relied on the priest being perfect. The priest needed to be somebody who could actually pay for the people's sin. And so that's, I think you're picking up where we're going. That's where Jesus comes in. Because Jesus is perfect. Jesus offered himself up. And he also is the one who brings the offering. The interesting thing about, and I'll talk a little bit about this table right here. This is an altar. And it's interesting that most churches have altars, because this is a joining of the Old Testament with the New. In the Old Testament, this is what the priests would make the sacrifice on the altar. So they would take an animal, they would put the animal on the altar, and they would sacrifice the animal. And so that's why we have altars in churches, because altars are, that's like priest stuff. Priests would use those. They would work around this. This was a priest's job. Well, Jesus Christ, he's really the only priest. All these other ones, they were going through the motions and the system that had been laid out for them, but they failed at it. They didn't do really what they were supposed to do. The only reason that was set up is because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus himself is the true high priest. He's the true priest that would come and make the sacrifice. And you know what Jesus did? He came to the altar. He's the priest. He brought the sacrifice. And you know what the sacrifice was? Himself. He sacrificed himself. So he's both the priest and the sacrifice. So it's kind of like Jesus went right on the altar and he offered himself. He offered himself up for all of us. That's why we have crosses behind altars too. Because that's where the sacrifice was made. Jesus Christ, he is the true priest. He's the true sacrifice. He paid our debt. So basically, this whole system of priesthood, it was all anticipating Jesus. It was relying on Jesus. He was the one who was going to do all of it. And he did come to do it. We're told in verse 4 of our text that no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So priesthood wasn't something that it wasn't like an election, like you run for president and you say, I'm running for high priest this year or something like that. It was not like that at all. You were appointed to this. God appointed you. Basically, the first priest was Aaron. That was Moses' brother. God appointed Aaron. He said, Aaron will be the priest. And Aaron's sons, all of Aaron's descendants, will be the priesthood. So basically, you were born into it. You were just born into the priesthood. That's what it's saying here, that Jesus, just like Aaron was appointed and his sons were appointed, Jesus was born into this. He is the Son of God, and he was chosen to be the priest, the real priest. So the whole reason that God set it all up in the Old Testament is because that's how it would be with Jesus. See, sometimes we think of it like it's the other way around, like Jesus came to like do the same stuff they did in the Old Testament. It's like, no, Jesus was going to do his thing first. The Old Testament was set up to just copy what he was actually going to do. He was going to be a real priest. He was going to actually do a real offering to God and take care of our sins, our problems, take all of our weakness, our suffering, our sin, everything. He was going to take it, and he was going to talk to God about it for us, and he was actually going to deal with it. So then we come to an interesting thing of how Jesus is appointed to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. I just love that name, Melchizedek. It's really a cool sounding name. And Jesus is a priest after that order. So in other words, he's not like one of those priests who was born from Aaron's descendants. He came from a whole different place. He came from this guy called Melchizedek. And now this is important because it shows that Jesus is the real priest. All those other priests really weren't, they really weren't doing anything. They were just pointing to Jesus and what he would do. Now, this Melchizedek, he's kind of a mysterious figure that shows up in the Old Testament several times. He shows up long before Aaron was even born. Before Aaron was even a twinkle in his great-great-great-grandpa's eye, Abraham. 1,000 years before Aaron was even born, Jesus showed up, and he was a priest. So Jesus is telling us that Jesus is the real thing. He was really the priest all along. Aaron's whole thing, that was just kind of copying what Jesus always is. He's a priest. So what does all this mean? It means that Jesus is a priest forever. He's an eternal priest. He can take our stuff, our sin. He goes and he offers a sacrifice. He makes atonement for it to God. He pays for it. He brings us into God's presence, and he's eternal. So that means that it'll last forever. That means it never wears off. It's just going to keep going forever. We're good to go. We're good to go to heaven because of Jesus, because we have a priest. We have a priest who represents us before God. He took our sin, and he dealt with it. He paid for it. And so your sin, even today, whatever it is you struggle with in your lives, Jesus Christ, the priest, he took care of that for you. He saved you. And it's eternal. Nothing can change it. See, these other priests, they would die. And they had to keep always, you know, shedding new blood for new sins and all this. But Jesus just did this one time. And it lasts forever. So with all this talk about Jesus being a priest, Jesus being our priest, when did he do this and what did he do? Well, we already talked about it. He died on the cross for us. He offered himself up. It says that in the days of his flesh, so in other words, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was here, he carried out the work of our salvation. All the things that Jesus did for us. Jesus prayed for us. Did you know that? Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for you. He knew your name. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows every single human being. Because the priest lives among the people. The priest knows who the people are. The priest knows everything about the people. He knows them. And he has to know them because he's representing them. Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for us. He brought us, sinful people, he brought us to God. And he asked for help for us. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for all of us. It says that he did this with strong crying and with tears. In other words, this was something that meant a lot to Jesus. Jesus really cares about us. He cried. He wept over us. He knows where we're at. He knows what our problem is. He knows what our weakness is. He knows what it is to live here. He lives among us. He is our priest. He asked God for help for us. He supplicated for us. There's a big word, but basically it means to ask God to show favor on us. Supplicate is just like ask for supply. That's literally all it means. So Jesus asked for God's supply for us, for every one of us. He asked God to provide for us. On the cross, what did Jesus say? He asked God to do something for us on the cross. As he was hanging on the cross, as he was being crucified by sinners, paying for sin, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He asked God to forgive us. Jesus asked God to show favor on us. And God did. We're told that he was heard. Jesus was heard. God listened to Jesus because of his reverence. What that means is that Jesus did what no human being has ever done, what none of us have ever done. He gave God the true reverence and worship that God deserves from human beings. See, ever since the fall, you know what we've done? We've believed the lie of the devil, of the serpent, when he said, "You'll be like gods. You're going to be just like God. You're going to know good and evil." Basically, he says, you don't really need to worship God. You don't need to give reverence to God. Well, then they became their own gods. And that's what we all are born with, our fallen nature that doesn't submit to God. But Jesus Christ, he submitted to God. He gave reverence to God. He worshiped God. He did the thing that none of us have ever done. Jesus did what human beings need to do. He worshiped and gave reverence to God, and God heard him. God heard him. Jesus didn't need to do this for himself. He did it for us. He did all of this for us. Jesus isn't like one of those Old Testament priests who would go and he would bring this animal to the altar and he would sacrifice the thing first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Jesus doesn't have sins to bring to the altar. He does it for us. He does it only for us. He has no sin because he himself is the Son of God. He's God himself. It says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. He suffered for us. He did nothing wrong. He had no sin to offer for, but yet he suffered. He did this for us because, just like we heard in our scripture reading from Isaiah 53, that all we, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone to his own way. We've all gone wrong. But God, the Lord, laid on him all of our iniquity. That's what's happening here. Jesus Christ suffered for us because our disobedience, our iniquity was placed on him. And he suffered for us. Jesus bore your sin on the cross. He silently took your punishment. And he came under the sentence of your death. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, A sheep before her shears is dumb. In other words, he didn't open his mouth. He didn't talk back. He silently took this. And he did this for your salvation, so that he would become the eternal source of salvation to all who obey him. So Jesus is the source of salvation. Jesus' name literally means salvation. It means Savior, the one who saves. That's what his name means. Jesus is our salvation. It says, to all who obey him. This word here is interesting, obey, because in the Greek, the word is very closely connected to the word for listen, hypakouo, in Greek. So it's like, basically it's saying that you shut up and you listen. You just listen to Jesus. You listen to what he has done for you. You obey him. You don't talk back to him and argue about what he's done. That's why the gospel is a proclamation. We're just telling you what Jesus did. We're just telling you, Jesus saved you. There's nothing you do in the gospel. There's nothing that you need to figure out about it or anything. You just listen to it, and you listen that Jesus saved you. His name means Savior. He saved you. He died on the cross for you, just as you are today. No matter what it is you're dealing with, Jesus saved you. He is your priest. He is the offering. So that's what it means to obey Jesus. Just like he obeyed. He was obedient to suffering. He closed his mouth. He didn't say anything, and he suffered. That's the same way that we obey him. We don't say anything about it either. We just listen to it. And that's how it is. We just be quiet and listen to the salvation that we have and just enjoy being saved. We enjoy it because we have a priest. Jesus is our eternal priest. Eternal. It's never gonna like get spent or like waste away. Like Peter says that we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. It's not going to waste away. It doesn't like wear off eventually. This is an eternal thing. And that's what we have. That's what we have in Jesus Christ, our eternal priest. So brothers and sisters, I don't know what you are dealing with in your lives. I hardly know what I'm dealing with. But I know that I'm a sinner. I have great need of this priest. And he has come for me. And he's come for all of you. He has come to offer himself up for all of you. You have an eternal priest. Even right now, he's representing you. He's representing you and all of the things that you are. And he's already paid for everything. All of your sin, all of your iniquity. And your priest, the only priest, the only real priest, Jesus Christ, he offered himself up for your atonement, to pay for your sin. And your sins are forgiven. Your sins. He shed his blood for you. He paid for your sins. And you, my friend, are a child of the living God through Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus is the Son of God, he made you the Son of God. He made you a child of God because of what he has done for you. So it doesn't get any better than this. I mean, this is the best news ever. And so we smile. We just enjoy this. We just enjoy being saved. And we just listen. We just listen to Jesus and say, you saved me? Okay, I'm saved. And that's all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.